Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show from the Labatt Blue Studio. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Bleed blue and white, drink blue and light. And don't forget to try the new Labatt Blue Light Seltzer Variety Pack, available at retailers throughout Pennsylvania.
And welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. I'm Jim Galante, rejoined by Andrew P. Shea. It is quarter number four. Andrew, that means, first of all, we've got to announce our winner from our Ask Ross segment, and that will be Ann in Ann Arbor. Ann deserves it just for being a Penn State fan, putting up with all those Michigan Wolverines out in Ann Arbor. So, Ann, we'll be getting in touch with you and about
well
your
done, Ann.
KSN polo. All right, Andrew P., here's our topic for quarter number four. It's something, another one of those topics that we're going to be talking about for years. And this is Texas and Oklahoma have pretty much made the decision. They are going to be leaving the Big 12 to most probably enter the Southeast Conference. We already know what that's about. It's ka-ching, it's dollars and cents. My question to you is, all right, let's look forward. What does this mean? What's going to happen next? Let's start with the Southeast Conference. You add Texas and Oklahoma, two huge brands. They will enhance the TV package for the Southeast Conference. And it now takes them up to, I believe, 16 teams. Do they stop there, or are they going to go even bigger?
So we're talking about realignment. This is a three-hour segment, right? So let's talk. No, but so you could ask me 66 questions to start with. Is the SEC done with poaching Texas and Oklahoma from the Big 12? It's a good question, Jim. But I'm almost laughing. Like, it's the SEC. They're the alpha dog in an unbalanced world with no oversight. Are they done? Heck no, they're not done. They're the most, they are the alpha dog in the sport. They have the most marketable programs. They have the absolute best TV deal compared to any of the other Power Five conferences. They have huge fan bases. They produce a lot of first round draft picks for the NFL. Are they going to stop? Not until they feel like it. They absolutely are not going to stop because there is nobody to stop them. They are absolutely not going to stop until they feel that more and more is when they feel like they've had enough. When you've had enough, you say when, right? Like when somebody's putting cream in your coffee, say when. That means you've had enough. Is the SEC going to say, who knows what the SEC ceiling is for saying more is now enough? I have no idea what it looks like, but as the alpha dog, are they going to stop? No. They're going to do exactly what they want.
Well, if you have a winner, which is the Southeast Conference in this, you have a loser, which is the Big 12. They lost their two biggest names, pretty much the two reasons why television networks want to broadcast the Big 12 game is because of Oklahoma and Texas. Those two teams are gone. What happens to the Big 12 now? What do they do next? Do they try to survive as is? Or is it every man for himself trying to find a landing spot?
So we're talking about the Big 12, right? That's what you asked me about. And is it every team for itself? It's kind of every team for itself. But at the beginning, you said, this is about money, money, money. We know that. Everybody knows that. And so let's follow the money a little bit when we're talking about the Big 12, right? If you're looking at the conferences in terms of revenue, it's 1-2 are the SEC and the Big 12. And the Big Ten, right? They're both, you know, 700 plus million is their package. Then you go to the Pac-12, 530 million. ACC, 455 million. Who's last, right? The Big 12, right? 439 million. That's their revenue contract. So it's about the money. So because they just lost their two marquee draws in the Big 12 in terms of television market, which, by the way, is owned by Fox. And if you think ESPN doesn't have any say in this or isn't, you know, behind the scenes maneuvering in this, then you really don't know what you're looking at, because you don't think the ESPN wants to kill Fox and what they're doing in college football. Guess who just got Texas and Oklahoma now under their TV contract? Not Fox, ESPN. But anyway,
let me interrupt you for a second there, Andy, because you make a great point about ESPN. I don't know if you even saw it. As we're recording on Thursday, the commissioner of the Big 12 has come out and he's pointing his finger at ESPN, blaming ESPN.
You're darn right.
And it's ESPN is behind this because the Southeast Conference, I'm sure, had discussions with ESPN. What's it worth if we bring in Texas and Oklahoma?
Oh, yeah. No. I didn't know about that, but this has always been about money in the TV contracts a little bit when I first heard Texas and Oklahoma in the Big 12. And I'm like, this is all about ESPN trying to kill off its competition in college football, which is Fox. And I mean, what bothers me the most about this current climate that we're in, right? Like, you have to ask, why are they doing this? What about, level playing field? Look at it. Yeah, it's ESPN. They now have TV contracts with every conference, right? But do they structure those contracts equally? That would be a heck no. I mean, the rest of, you hear the SEC pundit saying, well, the rest of college football needs to catch up with the SEC. Oh, really? How are they supposed to do that? How can an ACC program like NC State, who has, contracts with ESPN as well, catch up with, say, an SEC team like Vanderbilt, who's a bottom feeder in the conference, but yet, generally speaking, they're making $20 million more, Vanderbilt is, than NC State on their television contracts, because it's not treated equal. The SEC is the big dog. Vanderbilt's an SEC school, so they're going to get more money, even though they're a downtrodden program. So if you say this is about competition and a level playing field, no, it's about money and power. And it's the SEC's world, and the rest of college football is living in it.
And the issue with ESPN isn't just they're trying to beat Fox or whoever. Their competition, I believe the issue that the Big 12 has is ESPN has a conflict of interest in that they televise Big 12, and they're essentially saying, okay, over here, hey, Southeast Conference, you bring in Texas and Oklahoma, we'll pay you more. Oh, and by the way, our next conversation is with the Big 12, and we're going to say, well, you don't have Texas and Oklahoma anymore, so we're going to pay you less. So ESPN, as the broadcast partner with the Big 12, they have a conflict of interest. Now, Andy, let's move over to probably the only conference that has a chance to compete with the Southeast Conference, and that's the Big Ten. What do they do? Some of the early conversation was, well, they might take like Kansas and Iowa State from the depleted Big 12. Here's the problem with that is, over here, Texas, Oklahoma, over here, Iowa State and Kansas. How does Iowa State and Kansas enhance the Big Ten? All that does is it means you're splitting up the wealth more ways and probably making less. The alternative, and this is what I want to hear your answer to, is, hey, if we really want to compete and get brands in here like the Southeast Conference did, how about going to the West Coast and picking up USC, Oregon, Stanford?
Yeah, you make a 100% valid choice. And I swear to gosh, Jimmy, I have no idea. I mean, inherently, if you think about it, you're like, with the travel and geography, why would USC do that? Because it's just going to, cost more money. But if the Big Ten says, hey, we can double what your take is as a USC from the Pac-12 if you join us in the Big Ten, well, what the heck do you think USC is going to do? Say no to the money? So it's the Big Ten, is in a sticky catbird seat to a degree. You know what I mean? They get to pick and choose, but they also get to pick and choose and maybe even shift some of the geography. And whether or not they want to do that is up to them, but they certainly have the revenue to sort of compete with the SEC. And how they want to do that is up to them. I think they have to do something, or they probably feel compelled to do something in response to what the SEC's done. because then it makes them feel like more of the redheaded stepchild of the SEC, even though, you know, revenue-wise, it's not a huge gap between them and the SEC. So they're in a catbird seat that they sort of get to steer a little bit more of a ship here, but it's also sticky because where do they want to go and how do they want to do it? It's very strategic, but it's also, I feel that if they want to sort of feel like they're keeping up with the SEC, that they might be compelled to do something. And I don't know what that is, because who knows what's going to come. It's the Wild West.
My fear is they feel like they have to do something and they do something stupid. One of the things to understand, though, is the Southeast Conference, it's very well understood. Football drives it. Revenue for football drives it. In the Big Ten, they have this, there's an academic standard that I don't know if it's just, it makes them feel better about themselves, that this is about, you know, academics. There's a certain certification, Andrew, and I always forget the acronym. I always want to say AAU, and I'm not sure that's right, but it's about research dollars. Every Big Ten member has this certification except for Nebraska, which had it when they entered, and they no longer do. I believe Kansas and Iowa State do. Interestingly enough, so do many of those West Coast teams like USC and Oregon. So they would fit under that standard. But if you're the Big Ten and don't respond in that kind of way, you know, the SEC, there's conversations that they're looking at Clemson, they're looking at Ohio State, they're looking at Michigan. I guess my question is, where does this end, Andy? And if it ends with that super duper everything all under one conference, if there's 40 or 50 teams in that one ultra conference, don't they have to split up into divisions anyway, and it'll look like where we are now?
It might. I have no idea. But and when you're talking about the Big Ten and this certification, it's what mountain are you going to die on? And is that a mountain? Because we know it's a mountain that the SEC doesn't give a hoot about. They don't care one lick about it. What certification? A who? A what? Yeah, no. Marketable brand money. Bring them on in. That's literally it. So it's an interesting conundrum. The last thing I want to say, in the name of progress and profit, it just feels like to me, without any oversight, that the above the conferences, that the college football is creating a nightmare. That's it.
They are. It is really, as you said, the Wild West, lots of unknowns.
It's a nightmare.
And you don't have someone like the NCAA controlling it. All right, Andy.
Nobody.
That is it for the show. Thank you all for listening, and be sure to join us next time on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Fans are back, and so is tailgating. To celebrate, GoPSURV.com has a very special offer. For the first home game of the season, rent one RV and get a second one for free. A two-for-one deal. That's right. You can double the family, double the friends, definitely double the fun. Go to GoPSURV.com or call Mark at 1-800-519-8467 for more information.
It's time to get undomesticated. It's time for Labatt Blue. Time to get off the couch and on the beach, on the trails, on the lake, onto what you love doing best. Get in touch with your adventurous side. Get out the ATV, the tent, the sunscreen. Get out the cooler and fill it high with Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light, because nothing goes better with the great outdoors. It's time to get up, get out, get undomesticated. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Beer, Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York.